Hi, this is Dr. John Ankerberg. I invite you to dig into God's Word today with my dear friend, the late Dr. Wayne Barber, as he leads you verse by verse through the Bible.
I'm seeing, but I know better than to think that I'm doing anything. God's doing it, and He's using many people to get the job done. And that's the way I think it was with the Apostle Paul. He's given us a list earlier, but this list was the greetings that he sent to those that he knew, maybe not intimately, but he knew by acquaintance or by association of some kind. But now his companions in the ministry, they step forward. And it's almost like Paul saying, you know, guys, if you want to see the success of what God has been doing through me, I've been leaning on my staff, and they want to say a word before I close the letter. They want to send their greetings to the Christians that are there in Rome. I was tempted at first, again, to just skip it because it's another list. But it was like I kept remembering 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is profitable. And for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for teaching. And we know this. And so we're not going to skip it. And remember, relationship. And as we're going through this, you think of how these people were companions to the Apostle Paul. And how precious they were to him. And now they send their greetings to those in Rome. Well, we're going to look first of all at verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. Timothy sending his greeting. No wonder the Apostle Paul puts Timothy first. Of all the companions of Paul, Timothy is the best known. He's mentioned 24 times in 24 verses in the New Testament. We're going to spend a little time on Timothy tonight, really because we know more about Timothy than we do anybody else in the list that Paul mentions. First of all, it seems likely that Timothy came to know Christ. It seems that way when Paul was on his first missionary journey over in an area of Derbe and Lystra. Look over in Acts chapter 14 and verse 6 so we can just see this in Scripture. We're going to just take it from the Word as to how Paul met Timothy, where he got saved, etc. Paul calls him his son in the faith. And probably was saved under Paul's ministry on his first missionary journey, as I said, over in Lystra. In Acts chapter 14. And we'll begin in verse 1. Verse 6 is where I'm getting to, but let's just follow the flow of thought there. And it came about then in Iconium. They entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a great multitude believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, verse 6, they became aware of this or of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region. Now, when they first went into this area, obviously they were preaching the gospel of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, later on, they come back to this area. Turn over to chapter 16 and verse 1. And here's where we see the mention of Timothy. Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, and he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Now watch this. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So in other words, Timothy's mother, and actually we find later on, his grandmother were Jewish, but his father was a Greek. He was half Jew and half Gentile. Well, it becomes obvious from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the influence that his godly mother and godly grandfather had had on him even from an early time. Look over in 1 Timothy, just for, or 2 Timothy rather, chapter 1 and verse 5, if you'd like to look with me. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul talks about this, and this is important in understanding the upbringing of Timothy. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And so the seed was planted deep in his life by his mother and grandmother. And then when Paul evidently came in to Lystra in that area, he became a believer. And Paul comes back to that area and he sees that Timothy stands out among the group. Everyone spoke highly of Timothy. Acts 16 and verse 2. continues. It says, and he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Now, you've got to remember something that's going on about this time. The Apostle Paul became very disappointed that John Mark had left him. By the way, have you ever studied and wondered why he did that? You know why I think John Mark left him? And I don't know. This is totally written between the lines. I think John Mark left him because I think John Mark couldn't handle the message of grace. I think John Mark, a Jew, he had grown up under that influence, and I think when he heard Paul preach nothing but grace and not works, I don't think he could handle it. He bailed out on the Apostle Paul, and Paul had become very disappointed in John Mark. Well, as a result, he turned his attention towards this man that stood out in the area of Lystra and Derbe. Paul knew that Timothy was only half Jew and had never been circumcised, and that was important because the Jews were very bitter. And if he would bring a half-Gentile amongst them and he was not circumcised, they knew that his mother was a Jew, it would cause problems. And so therefore, he circumcised him before he allowed him to be on the team. Acts 16 and verse 3 says, Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. He was then set apart as an evangelist by the church who expressed great confidence in him. And Paul talks about that confidence. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, he says to Timothy, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of the hands by the presbytery. When they would lay on of hands, it was nothing spiritual. It was spiritual, but it was nothing of God. It was nothing that they were bestowing power on somebody. What they were doing, they were recognizing that God's hand was already on this person. And therefore, they would lay hands on them, and they were showing the great confidence of the calling God had put upon their life. Well, Timothy's loyalty began to spread, and people began to find out about him. And by the time that Paul wrote the book of Philippians, everybody knew about Timothy. He says in Philippians 2 and verse 22, but you know of his proven worth, that he served me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. There is no more beautiful picture than that of a man who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man loyal to a man like the Apostle Paul that stuck along beside him. Didn't matter the credit that came to him, but he was willing to serve him like a child would serve a father. People knew this about Timothy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people could say that about you and I? That, hey, you know what I know about old Wayne or whoever we're talking about? That person served alongside others as a child would serve a father. There was a loyalty there. There was a servant heart in Timothy. Well, Paul trusted Timothy probably as much as he trusted anybody in his lifetime. He and Barnabas had some problems, but it was Timothy that he seemed to give the assignments to that were the most difficult and the most critical. I want to walk you through some of those. When Paul was forced out of Philippi, it appears that he left Timothy there to help in caring for the infant church. Timothy followed Paul to Berea, where once again he was left behind by Paul, this time in company with Silas to minister to the new church. I mean, constantly he has this responsibility placed upon him. He met Paul in Athens, where he rejoined him, but not for long. He was again assigned the task of going back north to Thessalonica to encourage and strengthen the church that was there. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and it was not long before Timothy joined him there. We don't know much about the next 5 years of his life, but we do know that he must have been with Paul for some of his ministry in Ephesus on Paul's third missionary journey. Because Paul writes the Corinthians from Ephesus that he's sending Timothy to them. So he's got to have been with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, for this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10, now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. When Paul arrived in Corinth after his completion of his work in Ephesus, Timothy was with him. And how do we know that? Because that's where he wrote the book of Romans, and we're just reading the fact that Timothy's with him sending his greetings. We know that he had to be with Paul. When Paul's work in Macedonia and Greece was over, he made final preparations to go to Jerusalem. Timothy was one of the party sent on ahead to await Paul's arrival at Troas. Let me read that to you. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 3. And there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he determined to return through Macedonia. And verse 4 says, and he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. Timothy was in that group. And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. Once again, Timothy drops out of sight. You see him at critical times in Paul's life. But Timothy was in his first imprisonment with Paul. He appears again when Paul was in prison in Rome. Timothy was with Paul in his first imprisonment when he wrote the letters to Philippi, Colossae, and Philemon. After Paul's release from prison, it appears that Timothy went with Paul when he visited Asia. Paul continued on to Macedonia, but he left Timothy behind in Ephesus to take care of some of the problems in the church. Paul writes to him from his first imprisonment in 2 Timothy, or his last imprisonment, and listen to what he says to him. Now, I want to tell you, when you've worked beside somebody for a long period of time, and you've watched that individual not willing to take any credit for themselves, but just to step alongside and be loyal and faithful and a part of the work, you begin to learn you can trust this person. You begin to learn that they can they can carry out responsibility. That becomes very dear to your heart. All the way from the very first of meeting Timothy, Timothy had been alongside Paul. He appears everywhere. Everywhere Paul seems to go, Timothy appeared. And Paul would assign him here and assign him there or leave him here or whatever. And when he's in a prison in Rome, the last imprisonment that Paul was in before he was martyred for the faith, he wrote to Timothy. And listen to what he says to him, how precious the relationship with Timothy had become. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, I'm longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And then down in the last part of the book, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9, he says, Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. You got to hear the heartbeat of this guy. Man, I've been on staff here for 15 years. Rick's been with me for 13 years. Brother Spiros has been here for 14 of those 15 years. We're just different people around here. And you begin to work together. You go through the thick and the thin. You begin to share together in the heart. And what happens is down the road, that becomes very tender in your relationship to somebody else. And Paul, in his last days, knowing that he was going to be martyred for the faith, says, Timothy, make every effort you possibly can to come to me soon. I miss you, Timothy. And then in verse 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, make every effort to come before winter. The last recorded words of the Apostle Paul were written to Timothy. No wonder he heads the list in sending his greetings to the people in Rome. Let me ask you a question as we're going through this. Who do you know that would come alongside you that way? Do you all think back over your life and the ministry God has given to you or the work that God has put around you and the people that are faithful to Christ but friends in the ministry? I think of Chuck Hall. Chuck Weaver. And I think of Kent. And all. Then just look around and see different ones that have been here through the thick and through the thin. You know, when I came here, I'd only been in a church about 2.5 years was my duration. Almost 3 years. I almost made it in one church. I had a 2.5 year program. I could fake it for 3 years. And then you had to go someplace else and do another one like that. And I'm so grateful God's left me here for almost 15 years, October the 11th. 15 years. And I look back and I remember the valleys we all been through. And I remember the tough times and the tough decisions we've had to make as elders. And the weeping that we've gone through in making those decisions. And I think about the staff and all the fun we've had, but all the difficulties we've worked our way through. And I'll tell you what, folks, when it comes down to it, those relationships are what it's all about in the Christian walk. The Apostle Paul is allowing these companions to come alongside him now and send their greetings to Rome. But they're very special people to Paul. That other list that he had given, they were special, yes, but these were even more special. These he knew intimately. These were his companions now. This is the staff stepping forward and sending their greetings to the Christians there at Rome. I'll never forget the staff retreat we took one time. It just came to my mind, Rick. We borrowed a bass boat at that time. I've gotten one now, but I borrowed some ones. And we were out there. Eddie Rasnick was in the boat with me and Steve McCary. We were going down the lake. We looked over and saw the boat over there, and I did not know Rick was standing in the middle of the two guys who was in that boat. And the guys in the boat with me, it was all them. It was all Eddie and Steve. Now, you know that. I would never do something like this. And they said, Wayne, go by and just buzz them real fast. And I said, yes. And boy, I cranked that thing down. We were doing 70 miles an hour in the water. By the way, that's very fast on the water. And you ever know that a boat doesn't have brakes. But we got that thing going. This time it was just flying. And I went by about 4 feet away from the boat. And I sort of turned the boat just a little bit as we went by. And I mean that wall of water came off of that boat and just covered everybody in the boat. Well, Rick was standing in the middle of the boat. And I didn't see him until we went by. He was fishing. And I remember the propeller of the motor cut his line in half. And here he was. And the picture that they tell me that was left after we went by, we were just laughing, was Rick standing there holding his pole. His line was limp because I cut his lure off when I went by. He was so wet. No, Rick has really changed. He doesn't even wear a tie hardly on Sunday nights now. He used to cut his grass in a tie. I mean, we've got him loosened up. And Rick was standing there, long pants on and the whole thing. And I mean, that wall of water hit him from about right here all the way down. Soaked him all the way through. His glasses, the guys in the boat said his glasses were so wet and fogged up that he just stood there for the longest kind of time. And finally he said, I've been wronged. I had to come back to church and make my apology to him. I didn't mean to break that up, but yeah, I did. That was fun. I remember those fun times. But I also remember the times that we've gone through some tough times. And I remember the staff meetings where we've gotten down on our face before God. And God just broken our heart. And we've wept together. And we've struggled together. And we felt the pain together. That's what's going on here. Now, you can't miss this. These are guys, buddy, that have walked right alongside Paul. And here's Timothy. He's the main one. He's the main one. We don't know that much about the rest of them, but we know Timothy. And we know that we could understand why the Philippians said, man, there's nobody like Timothy because of the servant heart this man has. And he steps forward and says, I want to send my greetings to Rome because I'm with Paul over here in Corinth as he's writing this letter. Well, he moves on from Timothy and to Sosipater. It's a little difficult name. How'd you like to be named that? It's a little difficult name. Verse 21, Timothy, my fellow worker, greet you. And so do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater. Actually, there are three there. And he says, my kinsman. Now, we struggle with that word kinsman. Does that mean his cousin or his uncle or his aunt? No. But he means of my Jewish kinfolk. In other words, because of being of the nation of Israel, we are all kin together. We've addressed that already, and I'm not going to go back and do that again. Who are these people? Lucius was probably Lucius mentioned in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. If you want to turn over there, Acts 13 and verse 1. He would have been one of the ones that commissioned Paul and Barnabas to the mission field. In verse 1 of Acts 13, now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. Lucius of Cyrene. He was from Cyrene, and evidently, that's basically all we know about him, but he must have been very close to Paul and with Paul in many occasions, and was there when Paul was commissioned to the mission field. Jason was most likely the Jason that entertained Paul and Silas in his home when they first came to Thessalonica. And if you studied Thessalonians with us, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you remember the problem Jason got into by being associated with these guys. I mean, it was no fun, really. Let me go back and remind you of Acts 17, beginning in verse 5. Now, this is when he was dragged out of his house. He was taken before the magistrates, finally had to be released on bail. Acts 17 and verse 5. But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason. This is one of those times Jason probably wondered as he's being dragged out of the house, am I sure I'm glad to be Paul's friend? And some brethren before the city authorities shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. And they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge or bail money from Jason and the others, they released them. That's all we really know about Jason. But he was a close companion to Paul and was with him when Paul was writing his letter. So Jason steps forward and sends his greetings.
Now don't miss part 2 of this great teaching tomorrow on Verse by Verse Bible Study with Dr. Wayne Barber.
For additional resources or to view our TV program, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.